No matter where you go, NBAStore.com's got you covered. NBAStore.com, one store, every team.
Hey, 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 we back. 11th episode of Pick and Roll. Thank you for the feedback. It's been a blast. Hope y'all enjoy the All-Star weekend. 40 banger, what it do?
I must say I missed the podcast. Just came back from vacation. I'm ready to go, man. Jay, when I was on vacay, as much as you don't want to believe
it. Tell the people where you at, man, because that was big.
Man, I went over to Jamaica, so if y'all ain't familiar with that place, that's definitely somewhere you should visit. I was on the beach. But the good thing about it, I was able to actually watch the All-Star game. Stuck in a couple hours there to see the dunk off in the three-point contest. What a contest, Jay.
Crazy contest, man. I mean, it started off a little bit slow. Got a little win on Team Bosch. They won their third, I don't know, skills competition, whatever they do. Patrick Beverly won that, I don't know, that little relay, YMCA relay there. It was pretty cool at the end. But that shootout, that was great. I mean, Steph and Klay going at it, man. 27 points in the last round for Curry. Notched the belt. And finally, man, Zach LaVine, man, what can you say? Victor had a good shot in the first one, but it was a Zach show for real. The candor, the poise, the kid's full of all that, which you need to be a big superstar in this league. And he's only getting started. I like what Wiggins out there, too, representing. He got a little handshake down pat. Love the young Wolves, man. What you take, man? What you see?
Got to give love to the Wolves management, man. They did some good moves. They let go of some players that, you know, we're hindering the talent, the young talent they have over there, giving Wiggins his shine. Rubio's back. Kevin Martin's playing at a good level right now. Peck seems to be healthy for once. Gorgie definitely took advantage of the time that he had off. Sorry Shabazz went out. That was a blow to them. But, you know, at least it gives Bennett a shot to step up and do something in the limited time that he has.
Indeed. I mean, what do you feel about Garnett, man, coming back home? What do you feel about it?
Well, you know, the inside scoop is Garnett's really there just to either – there's plans, from what I'm hearing from sources, that he's going to be a part owner of the Timberwolves. He may even jump into a management position. So, you know, this was just a position to bring him back to the Wolves facility over there.
If you remember, we touched upon that. Remember I told you, how is Garnett playing from the Brooklyn Nets? Meanwhile, he's thinking about owning the Timberwolves. Remember that?
Yeah.
Episode 4, I believe. Also touch on the All-Star game, the Legends Brunch, man. I mean, that's fantastic. Waking up in the morning and Adam Silver putting on a great performance there. I mean, New York City ball, the best ball in the world, they say. I mean, L.A. will contest as well as Texas and down south and Miami. But, yeah, paying homage to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Willis Reed. Good seeing Oscar Robertson out there, Magic Johnson out there, and Chris Mullin, Kenny Smith, a few other names that came out there. Actually caught a beautiful documentary when they go through all the boroughs and such, and some of the big names that was there. Also Nate Tiny Archibald. So it's always good to see. You know, they're showing a nostalgic approach as far as the NBA, before the NBA, guys working out through high school and such, you know, deep in Rutgers, Harlem in 1979, upwards to about 85, and then it got really hot, and it became a commercial success in the early 90s to where we are now.
One thing I will say, Jay, you touched on that perfectly, but one thing I will say is that the NBA is doing a great job of expanding All-Star Weekend, the culture of it, but I think they need to get back to the nitty-gritty. I think the All-Star game is losing that explosiveness that it used to have, where it was very competitive.
The game itself, right?
Exactly. Remember when Jordan used to play, it was obvious Jordan wanted to get the All-Star award, but he always wanted to win regardless. And the best year that I can remember was when Marbury was going. I think it was Marbury, Allen Iverson, and it came down to like the last shot. That was one of the most competitive games. McGrady was playing. Vince was playing as well. This year, it just more looks like, you know, LeBron always wants to come out and hog the ball, try and get the All-Star award. Then you got Melo. And then, you know, you pick and choose who's going to win the All-Star. And then they go at it for most is 5 minutes of the game. I want to get back to that competitive nature. So they're going back and forth like beast, east to beast, back and forth, competitive. And the same force that Westbrook plays with is how I want to see the East go against the West.
Yeah, man, definitely. The game was lame. I mean, it is what it was. Saturday for me is the big event. But overall, like, I like what they did during the weekend, NBA cares and such, and giving back and helping out those who are in need. That's probably the best part of the weekend, you know what I mean? And seeing the guys who genuinely want to be out there and knowing that, you know, it's just more than a publicity stunt. This is what we do. Speaking of which, I want to touch on KD, man. He came out swinging on the media talking about they don't know, and they just started feeding it to him and stuff like that, and about, you know, the media shouldn't have so much pull, especially when they're dealing with the MVP and stuff like that. And he pretty much recanted the next day. But my thoughts on that personally is that, you know, it's a gift and a curse kind of thing. It's a double-edged sword, because that same media that propels your shoe, propels your notoriety in the league, is who you are today, that you can excel and that get that kind of money from Under Armour, to get that money when you're dealing with Roc Nation, to get that money from OKC on top of your talent. So, you know, criticism comes with everything, but you got to put on your big boy shoes and just deal with it.
Bro, you couldn't say it any better. Look at it this way. The media makes or breaks you. It's a business. It's not easy to be a superstar, the face of the league. When you look at it, Jordan was the face of the league at one point, and then they had Kobe. It wasn't even the downside of Kobe's career. He caught that rape allegation, and then it kind of switched over to LeBron because Kobe kind of shied away from the media. LeBron was there. He's excited. That's why LeBron's the face of the league. Not only is he one of the best players in the game, but he steps up to speak on behalf of the players. He talks to the media in the right ways. He does the right commercials. He pretty much does everything right that they want someone to face.
Except
the
corny tweets.
Except the corny tweets. But, you know, KD, he's supposed to be the next, if not 2 years ago, was supposed to be the face of the league. But, you know, it looks like he's a little bit frustrated. And I think you're right. Like he said, it's something that you got to accept, because these are the same media that's propelling you to the next level for brand marketing, promotions, everything that you need to excel your brand all runs through the media. And at the end of the day, if you don't have the media on your side, I guarantee you they're going to continuously ask you a million questions to get on your nerves.
Dude, that's word. I couldn't say it better myself. Yo, trade deadline, man. It was crazy this week. I thought it was the NHL here for a second.
It was crazy, bro. It was crazy.
I mean, every minute I could see something hot on the wire. He's going there. He's going there. Who do you got for biggest winner? Who you got for biggest loser?
It was a crazy deadline, Jay. A lot of big trades. For me, the obvious winner was the Heat. You know, you just lost LeBron James. Dwyane Wade's at the end of his career. Some people don't believe it, but, you know, that's my opinion. I'm going to tell it to my own opinion. You signed back Chris Bosh to a mega deal, just hoping to make the playoffs and see what you could do. You added Luol Deng. And then you get a young, upcoming superstar that just popped out of nowhere in Dragic. So now whether or not D-Wade goes out, you know, you can give D-Wade a pretty good contract, add another superstar, get rid of Deng, and build around Dragic and Bosh. So they're in a great position. I'm a little bit, not even a little bit, I am confused with what's going on in Philly, because I don't think anybody can understand what they're doing over there. We understand that.
Madness.
You guys want to build for the future, but you got a great point guard in MCW that has proven, let's not face it, he was the rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year.
So you traded your rookie of the year that you guys developed from losing on a constant basis, and then you get KJ McDaniels, who was in the second round that you drafted, who came out to be a good player, and you let them go for nothing. You know, we understand that maybe you guys want to build around your big men, but one of them, which is the one that you just drafted, Joel Embiid, he's injured, man. Jay, what's your thoughts on this? Please, man, help me out here.
I don't know, man. Philly's crazy. Seems like Rob Babcock somehow, somebody's pulling some strings, because to give away MCW makes no sense to me. I'm not watching the shooting percentage that people have been harping on. I'm looking at the fact the kid's a talented all-day stat stuffer, and you know as much as I do.
And sorry to cut you off, they haven't even given him opportunity with solid players around him.
Exactly. So I don't know what Philly's doing. I thought the big winner for me was Milwaukee, man. I like what they did, man. Finally, Thailanders gets a chance to get out there and run for the Young Bucks. And who better to learn from a Jason Kidd than you got a real good point guard in MCW. And you get Miles Plumlee to add some size off. Because after they waived Larry Sanders, they knew they had to get somebody implemented in there. I like what they're doing. I like them with OKC as well. OKC says, you know what, Cantor, you're in. Perkins, you're out. Reggie Jackson, you don't want to sign with us next year? Fine. See you later. Augustine, hey, your boy from Texas, Durant. You know, they got that chemistry, so they locked them in there. Dragic, to me, honestly, overrated. I know people are like, yo, this guy max deal, but I wouldn't max him no place, man. Yeah, you know, sorry to hear about the Heat. We'll touch into that as far as the injuries are concerned. And other than that, give me a few trades. A couple guys went there and such. But what do you think?
How could I forget? Shout out Whiteside as well. When I brought up the Heat, how could I forget his name as well? So he's definitely a big part of their future as well. But facts only, just like me and you talk. If you go back to a lot of our podcasts, you'll see stuff that we've already talked about. The Suns. I wanted to touch basis on it. I was actually hoping you didn't bring it up. But look at the Suns. Me and you were talking about their point guard duo that they tried to build that we could never understand either. And not only did they trade Dragic, they end up trading Isaiah Thomas. I couldn't understand that as well. I don't know what they're trying to do. And then they bring back Brandon Knight to have another point guard duo, Batman and Robin type atmosphere again in the Suns. Some of these general managers have no clue what they're doing over there.
Big time, man. That's why I like what Raptors GM Masai did. I mean, just chill off, man. Don't mess with the chemistry. Phoenix had a good thing going next year. Why in the world would you bring Isaiah Thomas as well as Tyler Ennis? Why would you drop two point guards? Makes no sense. And you just try to kind of just have a derision around the whole team where, you know, the divide as far as egos are concerned and such. So we'll see if they can turn around. I mean, they still got a lot of talent. I love what the Morris brothers bring. I mean, Bledsoe's still an army and a unit. I mean, Brandon Knight, man, he's a heady player, man, even though he's on Shaq and the Fool quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, he stats it up pretty good himself. So we'll see what they do there in the desert. Congrats to, man, they were in the West Side, the Coach Pop, 1,000 wins. I know it's been a minute now. We haven't seen in a minute because of the All-Star break. But huge accomplishment, one of the greatest coaches in the game alongside, you know, Red Auerbach and Phil Jackson and such. But Pat Riley, too. But, yeah, big respect to Pop, man. You did it with class. You did it with elegance. You're never, a media, a whore. You never neeked attention. You never talked about some great philosophy. You're this, that, and the other. And what you kept behind doors, you kept behind doors. You never slandered your players. And that's why guys love to play with you. And you see Corey Joseph thriving right there out there. Guys who came out big three. Any guy that came from that program went on to a better career. So, yeah, hats off to Coach Pop.
Speaking of the Spurs, Jay, are you concerned with their play right now?
Spurs are finished, man, right now, man. They got to rebuild. They know as much as anybody else. They're trying to get these guys to go to the next level. Spitter taking his time. Back up, Patty Mills. You see when Jamal Crawford put him on his knees, took him to church? Did you see that crossover?
In the church.
Woo! But, Spurs not going to be a threat this year. I think the motivation was last year on the redemption, Andy Dufresne. They had to get the Heat back. They went and got him back. This year, it's like, you know what? Whatever.
Whatever it is, brother. DJ Augustine, Enes Kanter, New Look Thunder. Are they going to shock anybody? You know KD's foot's hurt. What's going to go on? Are they still going to make it in the playoffs? And if they do make it in the playoffs, do they have the pieces right now to take it all the way to the championship?
No KD, no dice. KD, you might have a shot. Simple as that.
Great answer. I definitely think that they can do damage. I think adding Kanter was a good move. You know, they're going to try and see now if they can put two scoring big men beside Westbrook, Durant. They got Augustine.
Not to cut you. What's Perkins going to do on the Cavaliers? Like getting popcorn? I don't know.
Now I'll tell you why Perkins is a good pick.
Oh,
for the
muscle,
Cavs.
Right?
No. Sort of, the enforcer.
The muscles are flabby right now.
But let me tell you who I think is a great piece for the Thunder, Kyle Singler. I'm a big fan of Kyle Singler.
Right now, Perkins is looking like the dark-skinned Tommy from Martin, man. He's flabby right now.
Singler, great player. I like his game. I think he's going to be a surprise pickup that, you know, is going to excel on that team, especially when he's playing.
You like Singler. You've been talking about him.
Big fan of his. But, you know, Perkins was an insurance policy. When you look at it, you got Mozgov. You got Tristan Thompson. So they said, you know what? LeBron's really the only one with playoff experience. Him, Mike Miller, you know, James Jones. So they said, you know what? Let's grab Perkins as an insurance policy. When the game gets rough and we need some push, some hard fouls, we need some pushing, some yelling, some intimidation, we're going to go with Perkins. Yeah, he's a little bit older. But they looked at it as like, you know what? If Mozgov isn't playing and we need to go against Noah and Thompson's in some foul trouble, let's throw Perks in there.
You know, and I'm only cracking on Perkins, too, because I actually like the candor he brings to the game. And like, he's not to be the Mr. Friend thing. He's like a poor man's Charles Barkley. So big up to Perk doing his thing over there.
Hey, Perks, if you see J.R. Road, just know it's Jay that's talking about you. It's not 40.
Bro, I ain't Tyrone Hill, man. I'll stand up to mines, man. You know what I mean? I wish him well, man. So, hey, anyways, moving on. Mo Williams, man, I like that, going over in Charlotte, helping out, taking the place of Kemba until he comes back around. I think they say March 16th as being his earliest target date. I like that, man. Mo came out, double-double, shooting out, and he's got the team moving because, you know, Charlotte, they're just trying to grab a spot, man. And with Al Jefferson doing what he's been doing the last five or six games, hats off to them. Hopefully Lance will catch the system and start buying in a bit more and start being a bit more productive.
Yeah, we'll see what Mo does, Jay. You know, I'm not a big fan of the training of the point guards. They're all good backup point guards in the league. There's a lot of them.
Isaiah Cannon, Philadelphia now.
To be honest with you, I've been watching a lot of Houston games. You know, I'm not too familiar with Isaiah Cannon, so I'm not going to judge him. But if you're on Philadelphia and you're starting point guard, I don't think it's that hard to put up some stats there, brother.
He's bouncing around, but he killed in D-League. They call him back up. Apparently, he got himself going, but he's just never getting no airtime behind Beverly and such. And obviously, he couldn't have been that much a menace that they went and got the Argentinian superstar from New York.
Who, Pablo Prigioni?
Yeah, right? So, to me, I mean, point guards, if you can do your job, run the team. I mean, with over in Philadelphia, that's just basically, here, steer the ship, make sure we don't hit a glacier. But
and
I mean,
then trade the player once he does good.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Reggie Jackson, look, he's happy in D-Town, man. I see him with a big smile. Look like the guy on the Happy Meal, man. So I know he's happy doing his thing over there. He's got no pressure. He finally gets a team. He can run it. And
see, here's the thing. People got to understand that there's politics in basketball. You would think after the great year that Bradley Jennings had after Josh Smith getting traded that he would have solidified the spot to be the starting point guard. We all know Reggie Jackson can play the two, but come on, we don't want to see a duo of point guards again, but...
No, I think, honestly, they're going for it this year. They see the East is kind of weak. They got kind of built up the middle with Monroe and Drummond. They got some high flyers, some guys come off the bench. They're just trying to say, let's go for a good run. Personally, I think they should have been satisfied with Augustine, but it's whatever. And maybe they do want to move Jennings. At least he left on a good note. Hopefully, he can come back and be the player that he was before he got injured.
For those that don't know, the only reason he's saying that they should be satisfied with Augustine is because he had Augustine on his fantasy team, and you already know Augustine was doing some dirt. But that's beside the point.
I thought you were going to talk about the politics that was coming Adam Silver's way when they're talking about making the age limit 20 years old before you can enter the league. And the players' union lady there, she was pretty adamant in letting them know, hey, that 1 year you got out of us at 19, you should be happy that you got that. Even though there will be an influx of athletes coming out of high school, go straight to the D-League or go overseas. So they got to sort that out. Personally, I think if you're ready to play in the league, go for it. If somebody wants to take a chance on them, go for it. Just like baseball. I mean, the guy don't want to ride a guy on the bench, or the 12th man on the bench as he learns 2 or 3 years like Bruno from the Raptors. So be it. Let him tag along.
I agree with it. I'm not into the sissy basketball. You know, let the kids play. Let the ballers ball. They're going to learn some way or another. You know, if you think about that, there wouldn't have been Kobe at a young age. There wouldn't have been LeBron at a young age. There wouldn't have been so much Tracy McGrady. There wouldn't have been a lot of great players at a young KG. The list goes on. If they had a restriction at 10, 15 years ago, those players wouldn't have been in the league at the time they did. And they probably wouldn't, not to say they wouldn't be as great as they become, but definitely could have been another scenario. So I think it's something that, you know, as long as the kid's ready and a team's willing to take a chance on the kids, let the kids play.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You can't predict everything. For every Kobe Bryant, there's a Jonathan Bender. But, I mean, that's a chance you're willing to take. I'm sure he's paid off chilling.
If the teams do their research like the Spurs do, there won't be a problem.
And happy trails and a complete recovery to those guys who got knocked out during the injury bug. Chris Bosh, most importantly, apparently a blood clot in his lungs. Yeah, man, speedy recovery, prayers up. Also to Blake Griffin, who got a staph infection in his elbow. Hope he comes back smooth. Jerry Solinger, too, man. A couple guys got hit well, man.
It just puzzles me to see all these players getting injured. Injury after injury after injury. It's not even like it's a small twist ankle sprain anymore. Players are gone for a month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's long periods of time. My answer to why it's happening is the crucial scheduling that they have. What's your opinion on why players get injured so often in the NBA nowadays?
Well, we touched on it last time. I mean, they got to stretch out the games. These back-to-backs are crazy. I mean, you want to play four or five games in a seven-day schedule. It's crazy, man. You know what I mean? Look at the Raptors, for instance. Friday night, they're playing the Hawks. Boom. They got to end up in Texas. Got in at late. Wake up in the morning, late shoot around, and then you got to go against the Rockets who are just sitting there waiting for you. Basically, you're battling a lion in the gladiator school in the olden days with Julius Caesar and such. Like, you got no chance.
Great point. Adam Silver's doing a great job to make fixes to the league right now, and I think that's something that he's definitely going to work on. Let's swing over to the East real quick. Got a question for you. Jay, who do you think right now is the best GM in the league?
That's debatable, man. That's debatable. That really is debatable. Before Danny Ferry got the worst end of that stick by putting his foot in his mouth, I mean, he did a great job. He hired the right coach. He's got the right team assembled, and they're doing a great job in Atlanta. Maury from Houston Rockets, I like what he does. You know what I mean? Masai and such. But, I mean, at the end of the year, I guess that's the best time to ask who did the greatest job, because what happens during the future will let you know as far as the book's been written. But, I mean, right now we're enjoying the game. I like these guys playing high level, going to each other. Guys got to lace it up. Everybody's got nagging with injuries right now. But you just got to suck it up and get out there and give it all you got and leave it on the court. Best time of the year. People juggling for the playoff spots. And before you know it, man, we're walking into the playoffs. On a sad note, rest in peace to Jerome Kersey. Portland Trail Blazers are great.
R.I.P.
I mean, some special things. He was a man with authority. James Worthy will tell you during his Battle of the Showtime days that this man was a hard man to compete. When you knew this guy was coming in, man, you knew you were going to get bodied and muscled. Put up great numbers, one of the greatest leading scorers in Trailblazer history. Revered there in the community and such, always forever giving back and helping out. Suddenly died in his sleep. Details are scarce. Great memorials going out for Jerome Kersey, definitely. Will be missed. As you know, the NBA is a tight community. While we're touching upon a few things, also rest in peace Dean Smith, great North Carolina coach throughout the years, pretty much modernized how basketball is being played nowadays. And I like what he did back in the days of the 60s. Was great in finding African Americans houses and helped them buy their own houses and stuff like that. I thought what he did on the court and off the court was just special. Always kept in touch with his players. Anybody can call him at any meeting. He'll always have that second and that chance. Also to the Tark, Jerry Tarkanian, well missed. The street ball, and you see the style of ball that you see LeBron, those guys play now, John Wall and such, that came from Tark School. Bringing Larry Johnson, Stacey Ogman, Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony, Dave Backus, and the list goes on. George Ackles. The list goes on. I mean, you know, we lose some great legends, but their memories and the way and the style how people play nowadays lives on. So, yeah. Moving on, we got a Twitter question here from Terry Parsonton asks, who do you think will be MVP this year?
Come on, Jay. You already know who I'm going to say. I think it's evident right now that it belongs to Fear the Beard, Mr. James Harden. Steph Curry's definitely in the topic of it. I think Steph has cooled down due to the emergence of Klay Thompson playing at an ultimate level.
You don't like the Rockets.
I like the Rockets. I just don't think they're built for playoff basketball. I think in order to win in the NBA in terms of playoff basketball, I don't believe in the jump shot 24/7. The reason why I like the reason why I like the Warriors is because not only do they focus on three-point shots anymore, they attack the rim. They have an inside-out presence. They have great coaching as well.
They got D.
And they got defense. And they got Iguodala. They got Barnes that can attack the rim. So they're overall. The
Rockers got Ariza. They got Brewer. They got Josh Smith.
Who?
Josh Smith.
Say those names again.
Brewer, Josh Smith, and Ariza. Defense shut you down. Beverly added on too as well.
I'm talking about scoring, though, like in terms of the movement. Yeah, their defense is definitely good. But it's playoff basketball. It's matchups. You know, if I look at their team and I say, okay, we're going to put Brewer versus Wesley Matthews, who's going to win that matchup?
Depends, man. I mean, well, I think Matthews hasn't been all that great. Sure, he's got.
Just pick one. Who's going to win that matchup?
Depends. It depends a great answer because sometimes Corey can turn up on you, man. I love his defense.
Who's guarding L.A. Aldridge?
And remember, Brewer's not starting. So if he's coming off the bench, he's getting arrested. Remember,
Brewer. Or follow or Brewer?
It's a wash. And you're just saying a Brewer. He's not the only guy.
Okay. Lillard. This is a good debate.
No debate, man.
He's left the building, folks. All I'm saying is the Rockets, they're a good team, but they're not going to go far in the playoffs, if you ask me. They need some more firepower, though.
I'm back. Listen, I'll skip across that. What about your Mavs, man? How you feeling about grabbing Mari, man? You think he could do damage, come out there for 16, 18 minutes per game on those wonky knees or what?
It's 2015. It's not 2006 or 2007. That's my answer.
Yeah, pretty much. Shouts to Rashad Lewis, Michael Beasley, those kind of guys. You know, those times they pass are great during their time, but that's it. That's all, man. Thin line between greatness and outness in the NBA.
Speaking of Rashad, shout out Rashad McCants. Wonder what he's up to.
I don't know, probably snitching on everybody else that went to North Carolina. Speaking of North Carolina, big shout out to George Karl taking the reins over in Sacramento with the Kings, getting his first victory over there. He should do well, man. He did good with things with Sean Kemp in Seattle days, so he should have some fun with Boogie, and we'll see what Sacramento future looks like. As far as the ownership and the guys who are calling the shots, they look a bit sketchy over there, just the way they handle the Malone situation as well as Corbin. But we'll see in due time what kind of personnel they build in the future years in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see George Karl back in the league too. Shout him out as well. I think he's going to do a great job developing Cousins and getting Rudy Gay back on that track. I also think the surprise that he's going to do over there is developing McLemore. I think McLemore does have potential, and I think George Karl will definitely bring that out in him.
Yeah, good talk, man, because Benny Mack came out highly heralded out of Kansas, so we expect him to do big work. Yeah, you know what it is, man. Even though All-Star Weekend, we do see some things here, three games, four games back into the second half of the season. So, wonder who's balling?
And who's stalling?
Bring it, man. Who you got?
I got DeAndre Jordan. They didn't put him on an All-Star team. I can't understand why if you check his numbers. Three games in a row, he had 22 points, 27 versus Dallas.
Beast!
24 points, 20 rebounds versus Houston. 26 points, 18 rebounds.
Anima!
San Antonio. I'm not even telling you about the steals he's dropping and the blocks. So he's all over the box score. He's going to get a max contract next year, and I guarantee you he makes the All-Star team.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you feel about all the Hack of Jordan kind of movement now, him being the new Shaq of the face of that? What do you think?
To be honest with you.
Get rid of the rule?
No. To be honest with you, I actually love watching the Hack of Shaq.
You think it slows the game?
I love watching it. I love that gives the coaches the opportunity to use strategy in the game when it's needed. You know, if you're down and your man can't hit free throw, he needs to be practicing to hit free throws. I actually love watching that because it shows you, you know, strategy of the game. You're down, a team's hot, you slow down the momentum, make a big man go to the line, and he has to hit those shots. If he doesn't hit the shots, his team actually can lose the game.
Yo, you know DeAndre's playing like Will Chamberlain numbers right now as far as records are concerned, right?
Change the face and they might think he's Will Chamberlain.
CP3, man, I mean, there was whispers in the dark and far thinking he lost his handles, he lost a grip on things. And that is so overrated, man. CP3 been busting tail, man. If you look at some of these point guards before time and look at them after time, after the All-Star game, you'll see decline city.
CP3 is my guy, but I do think he's a step slower this year. I want to see him be a little bit more aggressive, and maybe he just holding off until the playoffs.
Number one leader, I'll take any day. CP3, captain my ship.
Or were you saying CP's on your ball of this?
Yeah, of course CP's in my balls, but add on anyway. Russell Westbrook, man, animal again. Gotta add Russell Westbrook, man. Putting up crazy numbers. Looking like Oscar Robertson out there, man. Above the rim, carrying the OKC to a different kind of level, fighting for that last spot. Maybe he should probably climb as far as seventh, but yeah, Westbrook for sure.
You know what? I'm gonna show some love to my boy J.R. Smith over there. He's stuck in Cleveland, said there's not a lot to do other than play basketball. If you check out his numbers, they're not spectacular, but the boy is balling.
Rebirth.
Just dropped 17 when he went against New York. Two blocks, one steals. Not only am I just giving him the ball because he's playing well, but if you check his box score, he's doing the little things that matter. Taking charges, taking steals, getting blocks, going to the line, giving high fives, and he's being productive over there in Cleveland.
Yeah, I respect that. I'm going to add Big Al, too, man. 5-6 game, double-doubles, blocking, playing heavy in the paint. And if you know, like, you know, Big Al's a throwback to the 80s, man. He plays that Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish kind of ball where, you know, he's sitting on the ball waiting for the right move, when to make the move, give you a lot of pump face and such. But he's an executionist, and he finishes off. So Big Al, hats off.
I got to show Big Al love. You know, he's on my fantasy team. The playoffs is right around the corner. Hopefully he can keep that momentum going and give me a title this year. But that's another hot topic. Got to give love to Kevin Martin over there. I didn't think he had any more in him. But, you know, he's over there with the young boys and he's doing dirt at the shooting guard. 28 points versus Phoenix, 21 versus Golden State, 21 versus Atlanta. Looks like he's still got his young boy legs over there. I just want to see him do it on a team that's actually productive. You know, it's easy to put up numbers on a team that's not winning. But when you're beside some superstars like KD and Westbrook, and it's in the playoff, that's really when it counts. But the boy does got some skills, but I want to see him do it when it really counts.
Who I got on my list? When things get mucky, who do you call? Rodney Stuckey, putting up big numbers for the Pacers. I like what he's doing, feeding off the bench. Respect, Stucks.
The man said, when things get mucky, who do you call? Rodney Stuckey. I think you got to get that on a T-shirt. Saw that over there. But I'm going to throw some love to Robert Covington. You know, he has an opportunity. Anyone coming from the D-League and making it to a starting lineup on any team in the NBA and putting up decent numbers, if not better than decent, you got to show them love. So he's balling.
Yeah, shouts to Chris Middleton too, man. He's been a steady provider, eating off the minutes, man. I like what he's doing. He's getting 30-plus a game. He's giving you 16. He's giving you 8, 7 assists. I mean, I like the way his field goal percentage is up to 47.6.
I got
to
show Nikolai Vucevic some love. 31 points versus Philly, 14 rebounds. 18 points versus New Orleans, 13 rebounds. 18 rebounds versus New York, 28 points.
Nice. Hold on, put me on the spot quickly. Who you got for Stalling?
Question, though. This is a great... I think this is a good question.
If you don't say so yourself.
Nikolai Vucevic is not a max player.
Vucevic who?
Who deserves more money? Who would you want on your team, Vucevic or Draymond Green?
Nikola all day.
But why is Draymond going to receive more money?
That's just speculation and talk. At the end of the day, you see Draymond Green's numbers. They've been kind of dashing a little bit, okay? Anyways, moving on. Portland Trailblazers, Lillard. Come on, bro. Big canvas in you. Disgruntled. You feel disrespected. 3 games, come back. You're putting up some numbers. Nicholas Batum, I thought you were that guy 2 years ago, man. Let me down big time. Wesley Matthews, sure, you're up there for three-pointers made, but you go ghost too many times during the games, and we need to change that. So you three right there, Stalling.
Since we're in Portland, and I got to throw Robin Lopez in there. He came back from his injury, had some good games. Seems like he's a little bit subpar now with 6-8 points in the last two. Hopefully Robin can get it together and help Portland get back on track.
Will Amir Asik finally step up, seeing that Anthony Davis has gone down with a shoulder injury? Will you really show us why they signed you during the offseason? You came from the Bulls as this big stud. You got over to Houston. You pretty much wind your way out of there, and you saw Dwight Howard grabbing the minutes. Right now, you should do damage, especially with Ryan Anderson also being dealt from the Pelicans.
I got to throw George Hill in there. Hate to do it. He's on my fantasy team. He's going to be one of my strong forces during the playoffs, but his name was in some speculation to get traded over there to Denver for Ty Lawson. I actually thought that would be a great trade for the Pacers.
Quickly, let me ask you, if there was a race in the NBA, who's the slowest guy in the NBA, who'd you got?
Who is Mr. Barbecue, Carlos Boozer?
Close, no cigar. Gervais Vasquez, I don't know how it goes, but I know Vasquez. Bro, slow as a turtle, man. Got no lateral quicks. I know you represent the home squad and stuff like that, but I've seen you lose too many battles for the 50-50 balls, man. And you know the reason why I come at you a little bit? Because, honestly, you make a couple baskets, you start staring in the cameras, you do all these little signs in the crowds for the Latina girls you see out there. You know, come on, bro, slow down a little bit, man. Like, honestly, you guys are NBA players, and, you know, much respect because you guys are doing it. But at the end of the day, I'm fair in my criticism. I pay big money for my ticket, and I want to watch a certain brand of ball. I know my basketball. I'm going to call you out for it. You take over feelings and this and that, whatever, man. Grab a box of Kleenex and wipe them up.
I'm going to throw Kawhi Leonard in there. Last game versus Utah, he had 5 points. Golden State, 12 points and 4 points versus the Clippers. You know, he said he's having some hard time getting his rhythm and he's kind of struggling with his shot. You know, we don't got time for that in the NBA, especially when your team is trying to make the playoffs. When you get chosen to be that guy of the team, you got to step up and be that guy and hold that responsibility. A lot of people want to criticize LeBron James 24/7, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, he always carries his team. He may not win it all, but he definitely carries his team when it matters.
And that's real talk. Jimmy, what we got for time over there, big man?
It's time.
People, it's been a blast. Appreciate the love. Keep with the feedback. Let us know any gripes, complaints. We air them out for you. It's here, real talk, man. We don't do the butterball approach around here. So enjoy the week. 40, got anything to say?
Yo, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work, man. It's been a great ride. Love All-Star Weekend. Second half of the season is going to be amazing. We'll see who takes it. And in the fantasy world, shout out everybody that's watching the waiver wire, because that's what it's going to boil down to late in the playoffs.
That's what's up. Make sure you check out Snackbite Media as well as SportsUp365.com. We take it one page at a time. Also, my man Promelo Beats, make sure you check out and look out for him. He in the studio live with us tonight, taking in the blast. And this is what we do. Located downtown Toronto, anytime, every time. It's us, man. People, you ain't got to go home, but check it. You got to get the hell out of here. All right? Be safe, y'all. Peace.
No matter where you go, NBAStore.com's got you covered. NBAStore.com. One store, every team.